The boys are in the starting stalls. Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Stand by for a start for Moody on the mic.
One of the great days of racing this weekend. It is Derby Day on Saturday, the start of the Flemington Carnival. This is Moody on the mic. I'm Roger Aldridge. Joining me as they always do, starting with the man himself, who the show is named after, Peter Moody. Good afternoon, Moods.
Afternoon, Rog. Grand final week coming up. We had the two big rugby league and AFL grand finals last weekend. The grand final of racing this weekend, some would say. Backing up a solid Caulfield Carnival and a great Cox Plate weekend just gone.
A great weekend, especially for Richmond supporters. There's a couple of them on here now. Let's start with Mytho, because, geez, I tell you what, Mytho, Rosemont's flying. The Tigers have won another flag. He must be as happy as a dog with two dicks at the moment.
Yeah, no, Geelong applied to wear the red with a white gatecrasher in the grand final on Saturday, because you just got to put it on to win at the moment. But being a great Tiger man, I denied them the opportunity, and you saw the result. So it was a top effort by the Tigers, and sneaky five and iconoclasm. And yeah, we've had a good little run lately. So may it continue into Saturday.
Yeah, it's helping pay for my spring. And resident Rayman, another Tiger who was there on Saturday night, gets to live in Queensland, gets to go to the grand final, gets to watch the Tigers win a flag. You're pretty up and about too, Rayman.
Yeah, only just recovering now, Rog, from a huge grand final victory. On Sunday, I had a premiership hangover, the Western Bulldogs were being proud of. But back now and really looking forward to Derby Day, one of my favourite days in the entire calendar.
No, they just snipe me just because I beat you in the best bets last weekend for the first time in a while. But yeah, the doggies, well, they're still recovering from theirs. Let's look back at the Cox Plate, because it was a fantastic race. And obviously the international form stood up, Tommy, because Sir Dragon A obviously gets the win for Kieran and Dave Eustace. Bossy, of course, riding his fourth Cox Plate. Armory runs second. And then Russian Camelot, of course, European bred and Australian trained horse, now gets in for third.
Yeah, well, Aidan O'Brien was beaten by Aidan O'Brien, basically. The horse now with Kieran Ma and David Eustace, but was previously prepared by Aidan O'Brien over there in Ireland. But I think it came down to the best ride won the race. We sort of said last week how competitive Ludbrokes Cox Plate it was. It might just come down to the best ride on the day. I think that was the case. Glenn Boss, Dave, Sir Dragon, an absolute peach. There was a host of big runs in the race. Armory was really big. Probably didn't really like the track, was still enormous. And if you watch the replay, Mugatu was just outstanding. He stamped himself as a genuine weight for age contender. So I think it was a really good addition of the Ludbrokes Cox Plate. I think it's really exciting that the Cox Plate winner is pressing on to the Melbourne Cup as well. Adds a little bit of added element of class to what's already looking like a really classy Melbourne Cup this year. So really looking forward to seeing how Sir Dragonette backs up in the Melbourne Cup.
And Moods, Sir Dragon goes in as an equal favourite in the Melbourne Cup. You've got a couple of chances to have a runner this year. Do you think you've got what it takes to match it with the likes of Sir Dragon and Russian Camelot if it does go to the Cup? Very elegant.
Well, I think Sir Dragon his European form suggests that he's much better on soft ground. So if he runs into a top of the deck Melbourne Cup, he's probably going to be from 6-1 to 16-1. With the depth of the European Raiders in the race this year. Great to see Kieran Maher and Dave Eustace combine to win a Cox Plate, and did a hell of a job. And like Tommy said, Aidan O'Brien beating Aidan O'Brien there with a former Coolmore Galloper knocking off their horse, Armory. Russian Camelot, I don't think he lost any of admirers. He was the only on top of the speed horse that held on and ran well. So you've certainly got to respect that form going into the Cup, but I think if we get a dry Melbourne Cup, there's a host of chances. I've got two trying to get into the race. Nickajack Cave, he comes from Ireland with form probably not too dissimilar to a few of those, but he's more a dry tracker. And the old Kiwi Warhorse, Platinum Invader, he has his last throw at the stumps in the Lexus this Saturday. So we need a few to drop out to get to one or two into the race, but you never know. There's still, what do we got? 5 to 6 days to go until Cup time. So a lot of water to go under the bridge, and we cross our fingers and hope we can get there.
So what are you hearing about Russian Camelot? Because there was some conflicting reports. We know Danny O'Brien said if he won the Cox Plate, he planned to push on to the Melbourne Cup. Do you think he'll still end up going to the Melbourne Cup? Is that the plan? Is that what you're hearing?
Well, we do a little bit of work for Johnny Wheeler, who is the majority shareholder in the horse. So I haven't bothered him this week. It's always a precarious few days after your horse runs so bravely, but you don't get the prize. I know he's long held a view that he wants to win the Melbourne Cup. We all do, but he's got a real thirst for stayers. So they've bought that horse for that purpose. I'd be very surprised if they didn't take up their spot in the Melbourne Cup. If the horse is fitting well, I think they'll take their opportunity, and I think he'll run very well. That's, you know, I haven't done a deep dive into his female pedigree, but Camelot, you know, obviously a proficient getter of stayers. So, yeah, I would have thought they'll take their spot. Sir Dragonet, 27 degrees, I think, Tuesday is the forecast in Melbourne. So it's going to be a top-of-the-deck Melbourne Cup. We know that Flemington doesn't get quite as heavy as other tracks anyway, if there is a bit of rain around leading up to it. So it'll be, you know, a good track, you would imagine. So, suddenly the form guide goes out the window and we're back to square one, and moves with maybe a couple of chances on a good track. So I'd love to be talking to you this time next week. Moods is the winning trainer of Melbourne Cup.
Well, Moods is working for Channel 10 in the Melbourne Cup Carnival. So do you have to interview yourself, Moods? And have Channel 10 given you right to wear shorts, given it's going to be 27? Because they never used to let me wear shorts.
Listen, I hope that's the case, Rog. But just very much looking forward to it. You know, it was a shame, but I've got to say congratulations to Marty Sinan and the crew there at Moonee Valley. The track raced particularly well. They had a firm deck on the Friday night, which probably saved the track somewhat for Saturday when they did get rain. And it looked like it was going to be Armageddon Friday night and Saturday morning, but the track actually raced pretty even. You know, if you didn't handle it, well, that was, you just didn't handle soft ground, but everything seemed to have their chance in running, and there wasn't lanes and a distinct bias there at all, which sometimes we can see when there's those two-day meetings. So that was good to see, and let's hope that carries over to Flemington.
Yeah, it was super fast track on Friday night, and that's when fast horses ran fast and genuinely won. The 55-second challenge was running 54-point-something in the second fastest time ever. So there was some track records went by the wayside on Friday night at the Valley. But I tell you what, we've got some massive racing to look ahead to, so we'll keep it brief on that first segment. When we come back, we're going to sink our teeth into Flemington.
Narrow the field with Ladbrokes Easy Form. Place form-driven multis or singles without ever having to study a guide. Create your ideal bet using a range of form filters, including runner stats, jockey, trainer and track. Or choose from market movers and favourite runners. Available on all Australian and New Zealand thoroughbred greyhound and harness races, Ladbrokes Easy Form does the hard work for you. Ladbrokes. Back yourself. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
All right, we're going in race book order at Flemington on Saturday. And, of course, the first of the big ones, not a group one, but it does involve a golden ticket into the Melbourne Cup. It is the Lexus Hotham Stakes, race four on the program. And where has the early money gone, Rayman? Is it with Platinum Invader?
That's a pretty open betting race, Rog, with plenty of chances according to the market. Ashrun is holding on to favouritism. It's been $3.90 out to $4.20 early. Shabao's been $4 out to $4.40. The early market mover has been Admire Robson with Glenn Boss in the saddle. $7.50 into $6. Then you've got a host of horses around the $7 to $10 mark. And towards the bottom of the market, we've got Platinum Invader at $34.
All right, Moods, make the case.
Oh, listen, he was ridden incorrectly the other day. Luke got on the back of Ash Run, but looking at this horse's New Zealand form, he's best held up for one crack at them in the straight, and that's the way we will ride him on Saturday. Is he good enough? The jury is out. I thought Ashrun was good at Geelong the other day. How he's going to cope with the quick backup and then look to run in the Melbourne Cup. They're sort of like us. They're hoping to win their way into the Melbourne Cup with Ashrun. I thought he was very solid at Geelong. And a few of the other locals have probably had their chances in life. Shabao and Admire Robson. There was big money for Admire Robson the other day, I think, in the Bart Cummings. I'm not sure if there is excuses there. Shabao has been long touted as a Melbourne Cup horse, but probably hasn't lived up to that reckoning. So, you know, off the back of what I saw at Geelong, I think Ashrun's the one to beat. And he ran fourth. We ran seventh, about three lengths off him. If we're ridden probably more to suit the horse, I think we can be certainly competitive. Am I confident? No, but hopeful, yes.
I think it's hard to be confident in this race at all, Moods, whether you're just a punter or whether you're a trainer or a jockey. But I'm going to stick with Shabao, giving him one more chance. This preparation, it's never been far off it, but it obviously hasn't won. But I'll give Chabal the chance at Flemington on Saturday. Mitho, where do you see this? Where do you see the winner coming from?
Yeah, I've got a question for Rayman. Chabal's record at Flemington, because he, in my mind's eye, I've got him as a real Flemington horse. But I just want to check in on the Rayman stats there.
Well, he's been beaten there a couple. I know that much.
Yeah, he's got a couple of wins there, but not overly.
He's three from six with one third placing.
Yeah, three from six. So there, yeah, I remember him bursting onto the scene and looking like that rising superstar stayer, and really relishing that Flemington track. But perhaps class has caught up with him, and those last few runs he has been beaten. That's just my little niggle for not going really long on Ash Run here. I think Moods is right. Geelong Cup solid. If he handles the, what is it, 10 days between runs, which shouldn't be an issue. I want to be long him, but just probably a saver on Chabal.
Rayman?
Yeah, I'm pretty keen on Asheron here. I think he's the class stayer in this race. Finished second in a Kerguelen in France, which is form that normally does transfer quite nicely to Australian racing conditions. And he's run the other day in the Geelong Cup. He was probably the horse that was still fine in the line late. Probably was left a little bit flat-footed when they sprinted, but he kept finding, even when it looked like he was going to knock up and be beaten quite badly, he just kept finding. And I think Flemington will suit, the slight step up in trip will suit. So I think he can win this race and earn his place in the Melbourne Cup.
We go now to the Empire Rose, which, of course, for many would remember it as the Meyer Classic. Now, Mystic Journey found some of her best form when she won the Stocks Stakes at the Valley last start. She gets back to Flemington, where she's run some big races too. But I don't know, Rayman, where's the money going? Because I look at the weight advantage and the amount of weight she's giving the 1,000 Guineas winner in Odium, and I just think it might be a bridge too far.
Yeah, the market suggests it's a race in two, Rog. Odium is the favourite at $3.60 on the back of that win in the 1,000 Guineas. Mystic Journey at $4.40. Then a big gap to Madame Rouge, who's at $11. So the market suggests it is a race in two between them, and I completely agree. I am sticking with Mystic Journey, but and you did mention, Roger, her record over a mile at Flemington is nothing short of outstanding. She's over that trip. She won the All-Star Mile over that trip. I think she's just a miler. Trying to get her out to a Ladbrokes Cox Plate for the 2,040 metres last year. Don't think it really worked. I think except for a big mile, she's the horse to beat here. I do have plenty of respect for Odium, though, and three-year-old fillies have an outstanding record in the Empire Rose Stakes. Like, they do generally take advantage of the weight pull here. But I just think that Mystic Journey, at her best at a mile at Flemington, can spike a really high rate. Happy to have Mystic Journey on top, but I'll certainly be saving on Odium as well.
Moods, what do you reckon? I mean, like I said, it's 7.5 kilos Odium's getting off Mystic Journey.
Yeah, a big pull, but I'm a little bit in Rain Man's corner here. Her record at Flemington at the mile is superb. I think it's 4 for 3 wins in a second, or 3 for 2 wins in a second at the mile at Flemington. And, she's been superb there. That's her best form. So Odium looks one on the up. She's been super, this three-year-old filly, and, they appear to have the race between them, given even luck. But I'm going with the proven Mystic Journey. Odia might prove me wrong, but it'll take a very good effort to beat Mystic Journey, I think.
Itho?
What odds the winner? Chicaferte.
Chicaferte, right down the bottom here, is $26. $31 into $26 in early betting.
It's just so obvious. And for Moody on the Mic followers, they have to be backing Chicaferte, given that she was bred by AP Mitchell and PG Moody. So we sold it, and my brother-in-law, Nigel Austin. For those that are following the show, $26 winner did nothing wrong there at Caulfield. In fact, only...
She won the Ethereal.
Enhanced her reputation. They had the option of going to the Wakeful or this. Clearly, the very astute Friedman camp has said, her best trip's the mile, and come back with the lightweight to run the big open spaces at Flemington. So I've got a funny feeling, Moods, that we might breed a Group 1 winner on Saturday.
Well, good luck to Connections, and she'll race up on the speed and look to make her own luck there for sure. But I think the class factor and rating of the 1,000 Guineas and the multiple Group 1 runner and Mystic Journey sort of outweighs the Ethereal at this point in time. And the fact that it's not going to make you or I sleep any better if it happens to win, Anthony, I'm going to stick with my head, not my heart.
Righto. Well, I'm going with my heart and the weight variation and Chickaferte to get it done for Moody on the bike.
As people might have guessed, I'm going to stick with the weight as well, but I had nothing to do with the breeding of Chickaferte, so I'm going with Odium, the 1,000 Guineas winner, to get the win here. All right, let's move on now because the next race on the program, it is the Coolmore Stud Stakes. And, Moody on the mic list doesn't know exactly where we're going here. I mean, this is Glenfiddich. I'll tell you what, Glenfiddich's massive chance for one reason. I've dead set truckloaded at $11 before final fields, and it's gone up 15. So absolute certainty now. And is that where the money's going? I haven't had enough on it to shift a market, obviously, Rain Man, but where is the money going in the Coolmore?
I think you've shifted the market, Rog, but in the wrong way. After you had your bet, September Run is the favourite, the filly, $4.60 into $4.20. Be pretty well backed early as well. The Golden Slipper winner, Farnan, on the second line of betting at $6, along with a Wild Ruler for Team Snowden. And there's been a little bit of money for Swatzat, $10 into $8, while Anders has gone the other way, $7 out to $9. Then you've got Glenfiddich and Ranting at $15. So a great race to Coolmore Stud Stakes, as it always is, and most of winning chances according to the market.
All right, Moods. Obviously, we had that much publicised throat operation after his victory at Moonee Valley last start. That was after you declared that he was going to win the Guineas and then go to a Cox Plate. He didn't get to go to either. Will he win the Coolmore?
Well, we're back to 1,200. That's the big ask. Is he going to have enough speed in his legs after being prepped for a Guineas and a Cox Plate only probably 3 weeks ago? Big question mark there, Roger, of course. But I think the thing in his favour is quite a few of these are coming off sort of in different preparations coming back to this, like Farnham was going to be in the Golden Rose and then he was going to be in the Everest and he's lobbed here, flying award, along with Glenfiddich was going to be in the Guineas before he ran last the other day. Doubtland went back to Sydney as a very short price favourite and got rolled the other day. I can see why September Run's probably at the top of the market. She was very good in the Danehill at a last run. And she probably comes in on that uninterrupted preparation, to be honest. You know, Anders got beat as a short price the other day and pulled up in terrible condition. I was a little bit surprised to see him there in the field. The good thing about having a horse like Anders in the field and probably Farnan equally is they're going to run along. We see a lot of these sprint races at Flemington down the straight where they jump out and dead set walk and just sprint home. So it's probably going to make it a real good race with having Anders and Farnan in the race and allowed to roll along. And I think that gives a horse like Glenfiddich a genuine hope. I think he's a genuine Group 1 horse. It's a big ask, like I say, coming back in preparation like he has. But I believe he's got the quality to win a race like this. And yes, I think he can win, Roger.
Outstanding. I'd really, really like to see that, and so would my bank account. Rayman, Bossy gets a ride on Farnan here. Obviously, Hugh, controversial ride last start. I don't think we're going to see Bossy take Farnan out quite as fast this time.
Yeah, well, I think the Bossy factor on Farnan is one of the reasons I like it. It's a race that's super open. I can make a case for a lot of them. Wouldn't want to have my anything in this race, but I'm sticking with Farnan. I just think he's still got that bit of X factor about him. I like the fact he's had that really good trial win between that controversial start in the Run to the Rose and this. He's been kept really, really fresh for this contest, and Gay can pull one out in that situation. So Farnan at $6, I'm happy to gamble. And we sort of saw last spring when Bossy gets hot, he gets super hot. So I'm sticking with Bossy, sticking with Farnan, but a race with a host of winning chances. I've got to respect Wild Ruler for Team Snowden. It's been racing really well in Sydney. Definitely deserves a chance. And Swatzat's been well backed early, $10 into $8. Love to see Glenfiddich win. I'm just not sure about the 1,200. Moody at the start of the prep didn't want to run the horse over 1,200 at all, even in a McNeil. Went straight to the 1,400. So it's tough to have a horse like that. This race is clearly an afterthought, but we'd love to see Glenfiddich get the job done for Moods.
And Mytho, with Flying Award and Swats That both out of the Super Size Seamus Award, or both by him, which way are you looking?
Hey, it's a massive race. I mean, there's a highlight every 40 minutes at Flemington on Saturday, but I think this will be the cherry on top of the day. It's the race that reputations are made and broken in this race, and for our sake here at Rosemont, to have two by our stallion in the race with live chances, it's massive. And if one of them happened to hit the line, I'll be drunk for 5 days. So what's that? Probably the one with the form. Rain Man, I'd be interested just to compare the filly form September run and Swat's that. Obviously the market feels that the September run form is just got that edge on Swat's that. Would that be fair?
Yeah, that's what the market's saying. I also think that the Chris Waller factor plays a part in that as well. Like, I think if you swap the connections and you had Swat's that trained by Waller and September run trained by trained by Team Corstens, there probably wouldn't be as much between them in market. So I think you've always got to account the Waller factor. At the current prices especially, I'd much rather be on Swat's that than September run, but got plenty of respect for both horses.
Yep, and look, she's probably, before you go, Mert, she's probably the one that has just been set for the Cornwall. There's been no ducking and diving. There's been no thinking about this race. Do we stretch her out to a mile and get her to Guineas? It's always been, she's got speed, we're going to the Cornwall. And it was an ambitious play from Team Corstens, but that's the path they've set themselves on back at the start of the preparation, and they find themselves here with a live hope. So good luck to them.
It'll be interesting, this race, too, because traditionally these races are won on the horses following the speed side of the race. And in this race, we've got Farnham drawn 10 and Anders, the other leader, drawn 2. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in this race. Will they just come like the charge of the Light Brigade? Will they split? Will they all come in one group, and how that will play out? Traditionally, when you have runners in these big races, you ask your jockey to try and follow the speed side of the race. But the speed is going to be split here, so it'll be quite interesting to see how it runs. The other thing on ratings here, Farnan is a clear ratings leader in this race with a handicap rating of 105, Glenn Fiddick 100. And then the next best in the race is Wild Ruler. Like most of these others, Swat's that, September run and so on, even Anders, they have to lift a fair bit on handicap ratings to be beating Farnan. And the other thing, will he be the first Golden Slipper winner in a hell of a long time to come back and win a Group 1 race?
Well, that's a question. I'll tell you what, I love when they split down the straight. It's usually a race caller probably doesn't, but our man Matty Hill, he won't give a shit. He'll just nail it. No dramas about that. On to the Derby, not the Derby. Cherry Tortoni obviously hasn't done much wrong this preparation and even last preparation. And Young Werther's the unknown, Rayman, and coming out, was going to go around short price at the Valley last weekend, came out because of the track rating, and then was originally, I think, favoured in the Derby, wasn't it, Rayman? And I see it's been a bit easy.
Yeah, it's still favourite, Rog, but it definitely has been easy. It was as short as $3, Young Werther, when we opened this market. Cherry Tortoni was $6. Cherry Tortoni is into $4.40. Young Werther's out to $4. So if the money continues and the market continues to move the way it has, Cherry Tortoni will start the race as favourite, which is how I think it should be. I think Cherry Tortoni the other day was really, really impressive in the Mooney Valley Vase. Billy Egan made that long run from the Tattlefield, a long time, turned it into a genuine staying contest, and Cherry Tortoni was still too tough late. Quay was sort of there to run him down late, couldn't do that. And they've put 7 lengths on the rest of this field. They beat Johnny Get Angry by 7.2 lengths. And he's a horse that's always been considered a Victoria Derby prospect. So I think having that really tough run last week will have Cherry Tortoni, Cherry Wright, for lack of a better term, for the 2,500 metres at Flemington. Horses race really well at Flemington in the past. I think he ticks plenty of boxes for a Derby win. If you take out his run in the Spring Champion Stakes, where he had no luck in running whatsoever, he's hardly put a foot wrong. He's second behind Glenn Fiddich in the Stud Stakes. The Valley was really good. And there's just so much unknown with Young Werther. Only its third race started. It's a huge ask for a horse to win a Victoria Derby at its third race start. And I think he's, especially in the early market, he was getting rated based on his potential rather than anything he's actually done on the track. Like, he's obviously got a huge amount of upside. He could come out and be a really good horse and blitz them on Saturday. But I'm happy to take him on in the current price, especially as a horse like Cherry Tortoni, who actually does have some runs on the board.
Moods, this was the race where you really made your mark in Victoria, coming down here about, what, nearly 20 years ago. You won a derby, and which one of these would you like to be training?
Oh, well, I'd nearly back the bloke cleaning the shit house, carrying his mop at his bucket to beat these on foot. Listen, I wish I had one good enough to run in it. I haven't. So I've got absolutely zero right to pot any of these, but quality-wise, like, we're used to seeing some Cox Plate form or some Caulfield Guineas form, Cherry Tortoni Spring Champion Stakes form. He got lapped up there. Where's David Payne's three-year-old filly? She would have started $1.10 in this, the filly that won the Spring Champion.
She's going to the Oaks.
Like, she could have won this with a set of hobbles on, one would have thought. I seriously, one of these horses is going to go home $1.2 million richer on Saturday, and congratulations to Connections for doing it, but I've got zero idea. Could it be one of the 59 Raiders down the bottom that could have got a run at the P3 meeting on Friday afternoon at Warwick Nabil, or will it be Cherry Tortoni? I've got no idea. Deer with no
and eyes. Gun to your head, Moods, you've got to pick one.
No, refuse to.
Mitho, what do you reckon? Obviously, I think Moods has made it fairly clear he doesn't really rate too many of these. That's what I took out of it.
It's definitely a field leg of the quaddy. There's no doubt about that, because it's too hard. It is impossible to pick. And I saw someone on Twitter put together, might have been Dean Elliott, who's a former Cornerstone stud man and good Geelong guy. He put something together that showed the 2000, a derby that was at 2000 metres and what it would have looked like. And it was star-studded. And you had to sort of have a scratch of your head and think, yeah, that's probably about right. That horse probably would have gone to a 2,000 metre race, but they ain't going to expose it at 2,500 in the spring. So I'm really warming to that thought. I've been a bit of a traditionalist over the years. Derby Day is my favourite day. It's a great race. I'd love to win it. But Moods makes such a good point. I mean, they're horses that are suited at the provincials over 2,400 and perhaps over sticks than necessarily Group 1 status and 1.2 million in the bank. So for want of a tip, let's crack a deal. But I think, Rain Man, you might talk me into Cherry Tortoni just on that class factor and what he did. As long as the backup worry for mine, you know, going Saturday to Saturday and running 2,500 might catch up with him. So I might just have a shekel each way on Let's Crack a Deal for Price and Co. And Flying Syndications, I think it is. So good luck to them.
Well, we talked you into Cherry Tortoni last weekend and it got the win. So I'm with Cherry Tortoni as well. So that makes three of us, and Moods, as we know, sitting very much on the fence, and perhaps rightly so, because there's been talk for a long time about the derby going back to 2,000 metres. And yeah, when you look at that field, it might be about time. But this is a race you'll probably have a little bit more interest in, gentlemen. And that is the Kennedy Cantala Stakes. Of course, was the Emirates Stakes on final day at one point of time. And Mr. Quickie is the favourite, Rain Man. Is that where the money's going? Has Mitho emptied the Rosemont account again?
Yeah, I think he has. It's been a proper go early, Mr. Quickie. Opened $5.50, now into $4.60. The clear favourite and market mover with Ladbrokes. Buffalo River open favourite has been $5 out to $6.50. Then you've got them all at double figure odds, as it often is, the Cantala, very open betting race. But there is one horse I really do like here at double figure odds, is Rock at $11. Won the Cameron Handicap at Newcastle in really impressive fashion. Then he was one of the best runs in an Epsom Handicap that was dominated by horses on the speed. Tommy Berry took him right back to the tail of the field, and he was probably the only horse in the race that really made up any ground. He ran some of the fastest closing sectionals of the day. I think he'll be better suited here at Flemington. Maps get a really nice run from Barrier 2 with Michael Poy in the saddle. I think he's an outstanding bet at $11.
I'm going to go with Mr. Quickie because I fear otherwise if I do not. But Mitho, it looks a really nice race for him.
Oh, look, it does. And he's in cracking form. He's been so well managed by the team leading into this, and keeping him fresh, I think, is the key. And that 1600 metres, I've got to admit, Moods will know this, that I was a bit of a doubter. I felt like the 2000 metres of the McKinnon might have been his peak performance this spring, but you know, to win a Toorak, lugging that weight in spectacular fashion, Barry is a bit of a concern. I'll be very keen. I haven't had a chance to chat to Mood since Barriers came out, but I would like to still see a little bit of positivity from Jamie Carr, who really clicked with him in the Toorak, and just take your luck that you're going to get in and get a little bit of cover somewhere in a big field. But that's probably the risk. He's healthy, well. I won't be tipping another horse. And I'll be hoping and praying that he's had a bit of cover, had a soft run, and he peels out the middle of that big Flemington track and gets to attack the line. Moods, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, that's the key, isn't it? The other day, he drew the good gate. Jamie Carr gave him an absolute peach. He was not far behind the speed and got the gaps at the right time. He's going to need more luck than Darcy Dugan this week with equal top weight and barrier 16. But crikey, I've been converted. Jamie Carr, Mitho and I, we had a toe-to-toe about 2 weeks ago on Australia's leading jockeys, and we were talking about Hugh Bowman and Luke Nolan and everything. And he said, well, the best rider in Victoria at the moment is Jamie Carr. Have a look at her form. And who can put up an argument against her? And is on the cusp. I know it's a long, long way away, 7 or 8 months of the season to go, but she's leading the Victorian Jockeys Premiership in the middle of a spring carnival. 4 winners on Cox Plate Day, one of 3 riders to do that in the history of the Cox Plate Day. That's phenomenal. And so I can't doubt anything. She's not the best female jockey in Victoria or Australia. She's one of the best jockeys in the country. So I'm not going to doubt her. Good luck. I've got the Velvet King in the race. I was pleased with his first up run at Caulfield. Luke Nolan closed his eyes and ran up the arse of about 3 horses in the straight when there was only 7 in the race or 8 in the race. So hopefully he opens his eyes on Saturday. He's drawn well to get a good run. And on his best Western Australian form, he can run well. I thought a horse like Nonconformist down in the weight. I've saw this horse win at Pakenham. I think it might have even been his maiden a good while back for Graeme Begg, and I've been really taken with this horse, and I reckon he's got a good race in him. Is this one a season too soon? I'm not sure. I reckon he'll run big. You know, Cascadian's drawn 18. It's opened the race right up. 50 Stars has drawn 15. Wild Planet's probably drawn to get the best run, and W Pike and the Hawk Stable in great form. Very open affair. Wallet says the Velvet King. Hart says Mr. Quickie, but any one of about 6 could win it. Maybe put Nonconformist in your multiples each way.
Beautiful stuff. And then we go up to Sydney for a feature race up there. And this is another race that Mitho will have a pretty keen eye on. It's the Iron Jack Golden Eagle. Shit beer, good race, lots of money. Rayman, where's the money going in the Golden Eagle?
Yeah, it's a fascinating betting race, this one, with a host of winning chances. And the Barrow draw really played a bit of havoc. Leading chances basically drew poorly. The favourite is Fun Star for the Chris Waller stable. Comes out of the Epson handicap like last year's winner Colding did. It's $4.80. Alligator Blood, the Queenslander, is on the second line of betting at $7. But the market move has been the Australian Oaks winner Colette. Opened $10, now into $7. She was the only one of the leading chances that drew well. So I think that's part of the move there. Then you've got a host of really good horses at a price. Sierra Sue's $10. Super $15, Flick Soup $15. It's a pretty deep race, so quite looking forward to this on Saturday. For me, it's a two-bet play here. I'm sticking with Alligator Blood and Flick the Swarm coming out of the Silver Eagle. I think David Van Dyke set Alligator Blood for this race, ready to peak third up here. First up run in Brisbane with a big weight, really wasn't too bad, and certainly wasn't disgraced behind Flick in the Silver Eagle either. I think the step up to 1,500 metres suits, and I'm not sure the wide barrier draw will be that much of a problem. I think Ryan Maloney will ride him aggressively here, and it'll give his rival Alligator Blood. So quite like him at $7. And then Flip, I think, is a really big price at $15. Beat Alligator Blood fair and square in at the Silver Eagle. She's not the most consistent horse in the world, Flip, but on her day, she's capable of spiking a really big rating. She won the 1,000 guineas last spring. She won really well in the Missile Stakes earlier this season. And last preparation, she won the Lightfingers. So Flip at $15, but is another horse that appeals, but it's a really open race, Roger, with a fair amount of depth.
Couldn't agree more. I was leaning towards Flit just because of the price and given that she won the Silver Eagle in that fashion. Yeah, but she, like I said, she's not the most consistent runner. But in a race where I don't have a lot of an idea, I'm going to stick with her at the price. Mytho, obviously All Saints Eve goes around at a very big price. The winner of the what's the Newcastle race that she won the other week?
The Tibby Stakes.
The Tibby Stakes. So she goes around here at $34.
She does, and I think that's really not a reflection of her chances, but a reflection of how deep the race is. As Rainman's pointed out there with the market, it's you know, you've got Funstar who's drawn the car park at $5. I mean, if she draws in, she should be, you know, she's probably, you know, 6-4 and goes around with a leg in the air. But you know, from 22, things get a bit tricky. Alligator Blood, there was a little bit of mail around that David Van Dyke didn't want to take his spot in the race given the rain. And just thinks he's a duffer on it. Seen enough of those tropical storms up north training in Queensland to know that he just doesn't handle the wet. And it's going to be bottomless there on the weekend. They're expecting another 3 inches of rain in Sydney between now, what are we, Wednesday afternoon and race time. So you are going to be needing heavy track form, which is where I can make the case for my girl. She's drawn 3, which you need at Rose Hill 1500. Barriers are really important, they tell me. I'm not having had a lot of runners at Rose Hill over the years, but John O'Shea is an advocate for drawing in and cutting the corner. She'll get that opportunity. She's an absolute muddy, loves it wet. Won on a heavy track first up when she wasn't ready, but the heavy track suited her and didn't suit the others, and she found the line first up this preparation at Randwick. And I have to say that Omen punters need to take note. Saturday's date is the 31st of October. That is All Saints Eve.
All right. Well, if you bet on Omen bets, and I've been known to do so in the past, you're probably not the world's greatest punter, and I certainly am not. Moods, what do you like? Have you had a look at the race?
Yeah, listen, it's you know, it's open with the barrier door in it. I'm not sure what odds he is. I'm sure he'll be double each way odds. The 4 Dawn Passage,
20 to 1,
barrier to box. He'll be rock hard. He'll go forward. He'll make his own luck. I know he's drawn 16, but you know where he's going to be in the run. One of Gay Waterhouse, Adrian Bott, Gallopers, Timmy Clark's riding in great form. I thought Dawn Passage at 20 to 1 is going to give you a great sight. He's going to be in front at the furlong anyhow. He'll lead for home. He'll kick. Can he hold them off? The other one is the West Australian Windstorm. His form's been solid enough down here. I'm not sure if he's had much exposure to soft ground being a West Aussie, but I thought his form's been pretty genuine down here. He's drawn to get a pretty good run. Glenn Schofield takes the ride. So I'd maybe include those two in my multiples, but probably with Dawn Passage each way.
Windstorm hasn't seen a heavy track moves, but from 6 starts in the soft, 4 wins, 1 second. So not bad with a bit of give in the ground. At 6 races, we got through that segment. That's value for money, punters. And when we come back, the real value, best bets here on Moody on the Mic.
This spring, Ladbrokes is changing the way you multi, putting the power in your hands and giving you more chances to win. With our new split and blended features, load up your multi-legs with runners from the same race, and if any of them get up, you win. Get all the racing multi-combinations you want done in one. Ladbrokes. Back yourself.
Minimum price $1.10 for blended egg. T's and C's apply. See website for details. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Okay, time for the best bets on one of the great days of racing on the Australian calendar. Ray Manners, we always do. We'll let you kick things off.
Yeah, I'm looking to the Wakeful Stakes, hoping to get some money nice and early on Victoria Derby Day. With a horse Mytho's always been a big fan of, Personal, ran really well in the 1,000 guineas and has always given me the impression that she would suit a step up in trip to something like the 2,000 metres. Was really taken with her run in the 1,000 guineas. She was really good before the prelude. She's been a good horse all the way through, basically. I think she finds herself in a really winnable contest in the Wakeful Stakes. You're getting $3.30. It was open $3.80, which is a silly price. I think she'll probably start even shorter. I think she'll be really tough to beat.
All right, I'm going to go to the last race on the program, the Furphy Sprint. A horse who I liked last week in the Manicato, and she was subsequently scratched from the race. And that is Diamond Effort. Now, she is favourite, but at a very backable price at $4.20. I think down the straight at Flemington, she's just going to set it alight. She barely puts a foot wrong. While I am wary of California Zimble, I'm going Diamond Effort, because she technically won for me last week because I did like her in the Manicato. She got scratched and I reinvested and had Haydock. So it all turned out all right in the end. So I'm sticking with putting a little bit of that on Diamond Effort in the Furphy Sprint on Saturday. Now, Furphy, that is a decent beer. Mytho.
The Rosemont Ruffy for the weekend. I'm going to give everyone a bank on Friday night to play with then on Saturday. And the three-year-old fillies race, benchmark 64 at Moonee Valley. Don't know what race number, but way to go, Paula, is going to do what she did a couple of weeks ago at Pakenham. That was a classy field she beat there. And Stokesy's been telling me for a while that he thinks she's a stakes class filly by Nostradamus that we're pretty excited about. And I had a quick look at the form today and didn't really see one that I thought was a Monty to beat her. So I'm happy to tip her pretty strongly. I'm not sure what odds she's come up there, Rayman, but way to go, Paula.
We don't have a market at the time of record, but I'm really keen way to go, Paula, as well. I was very impressed with that win last start. So I think definitely a filly to follow.
Some deep speed in the race, though, Mytho. And by that, I mean the number one in the race is deep speed. Moods, what do you got this weekend?
I've got Moods, Monty. I'm sticking fat with my team. In the Coolmore Stud Stakes, race 6, number 4, Glenfiddich. If he's 14 or 15 to 1, backing till the cows come home, I think he's a damn good colt. And I expect him to run very big in this race, in what is a good day's racing. And thank God there's no kids there on Saturday afternoon at the races either, because you know how the kids like to run down the straight and follow the horses down. Well, if they do it in the Derby, they'll beat them home.
And, Moods, what were your instructions to Luke B on Saturday for the Coolmore?
Open your eyes, listen to the show, Al Nolan. Glenfiddich's a fast horse. So what do we do with fast horses? Owners, punters, trainers and jockeys, we let them run fast.
Ladbrokes, back yourself.